This is Still Standing with Michael Caputo, episode 60. Coming up on today's show, CPAC and new Democrat race. All that and more on the way on Still Standing.
No talking points, no spin. It's politics you can't put down. This is Still Standing with Michael Caputo.
Hello and welcome to Still Standing with Michael Caputo. I'm Michael Caputo, as you probably guessed. And I appreciate you listening in. I do these once a week, sometimes once a week or so, like this example. Usually I do them on Fridays for you to listen to over the weekend. But it took me until Monday to get my podcast done this week. But I'm trying to keep up. A lot of stuff going on, most importantly. Or most interestingly for me, I ended up at CPAC last week, which is a place I never thought I would ever go to again. Not because I didn't like it. It was kind of a younger, it's for a younger crowd. I'm only 58, but I first went there when I was, I think, 22. And I kept going for 10 years. And I grew out of it. A lot of the people that were speaking there, I saw speak rather regularly as someone who lived in Washington. It's kind of an out-of-towner thing. It's a great event. And boy, oh boy, I used to go to it. It was Rob Keene. And it was a decent event. It was up in the Omni Shoreham in upper Northwest Washington, D.C. But man, oh man, it has changed. Really, really changed. I saw Matt Schlapp, the head of it, in the middle of the conference. And I said, "Hey, Matt, what are you doing?" He said, "Hey, how are you, man?" You know, I told him, I have never seen such massive growth. I think whatever Matt did, he did it on steroids. It is a huge event. I guess we're kind of more of a cultural event oriented country than most. I'll tell you, when I was living overseas, I rarely saw the whole culture of, you know, county fairs and things like that that Americans do. And we got into this Comic-Con stuff and things, a lot of entertainment-oriented conferences. This is kind of like now they're doing this Politicon around the country, but this is the real one, CPAC. It is the Politicon for the conservative side. This Politicon conference, I think the last one I went to was in L.A. They do both parties, or all parties. But CPAC is not just Republican. It is conservative Republican and decidedly very pro-Trump, which was interesting because in 2016, Donald Trump did not attend CPAC. I think there was some kind of a snub going on, and there was a kind of a nasty tweet which came from, I guess, Matt or Matt's staff. And that was brought up a lot this year. But anyway, so I was down in Florida, had a couple of speaking engagements down there, and also my company's down there. So last week I got a call from Josh Malone, who was the inventor of Buncha Balloons. Crazy, right? Josh Malone is probably one of the most interesting fellows I've ever met. He's an engineer and has a very big family, lots of kids, lived outside of Dallas, still his home base, I guess, is there. And they used to love fighting with water balloons. And he got tired of tying them up, so he invented a gadget. You screw onto the end of your hose that inflates 20 or 30 of them at a time. And our family uses them. They're incredible. We have 5- and 7-year-olds. They bring kids around. We have water balloon parties. Of course, they're really a great toy. And they were the toy of the year, summer toy of the year, several years in a row. I mean, Josh and his family, it's changed their lives, this invention. And unfortunately, someone stole his invention. The guys behind me, as seen on TV, he didn't even have the capacity to supply. He had a patent on it, but he didn't have the capacity to supply as many people as wanted it. There was an he just got Walmart. Everybody wanted it. So this as seen on TV company out of New Jersey knocked it off, like apparently they do all the time. They're always in court. They just run inventors ragged and don't let them up. You know, they just sue the crap out of them. And you know, if you own the patent, doesn't matter. They'll have it invalidated. Well, that was the panel. The name of the panel, invalidated. A lot of people don't think about how patent, public, you know, private property, something constitutionally protected, how those are, you know, patents and IP are stolen from legitimate American inventors, and it has a lot to do with the system being soured. In fact, it's kind of the administrative state's way of killing patents that is ruining the, you know, right now people, I led a protest in 2017 where I think 20 or 30 patent holders burned their patents on the steps of the Patent and Trademark Office. It's a big deal. I'm a big believer in patents and intellectual property. I've been working in that space for 20 years, 16 years since I worked with Merck Exchange. Anyway, so Josh, the balloon man, calls me up, wants me to sit on a panel to discuss this issue about how, you know, the deep kind of administrative state robs legitimate inventors of their rights and big companies just steamroller them. And he said, it's at CPAC. And I said, well, I've not been to CPAC since 1992. I think I'd like to check it out, right? Why not? So I flew up from Florida, skipped Buffalo, didn't go home first. Big blizzard was coming, and it didn't turn out to be much, but I didn't want to get caught and unable to fly to Washington. I got on the panel. I got to stick around for 2 days at CPAC, and that was really, really enjoyable. I didn't do much of the partying. You know, there's a lot of receptions and things going on, and I'm not a big drinker or partier anymore, but I went to several events during the day, both days, and went up and down Radio Row where I was doing interviews for my book, The Ukraine Hoax, which you may have heard, and I'll talk about on a future podcast. The Ukraine Hoax is available on Amazon. It explains why, through history, President Trump ends up being absolutely right to ask for investigations of corruption in Ukraine, including the Bidens and Ukrainian interference in America's 2016 elections. Good book. You should look at it on Amazon. But well, one thing I really enjoyed was meeting some of the people I see on social media. I won't go through the whole list. I got to admit, it looked like kind of a fanboy convention. A lot of people were taking selfies and stuff. And that, I know there's a place for that. But that's kind of the reason why I stopped going to CPAC, just because, you know, a lot of people from out of town are looking for their time with their conservative heroes. And you know, I'm really not, right? Or at least when you're living in Washington, you're not. I actually got a big kick out of it since I live in Buffalo now, and I got to see some people and listen to some speakers. The one thing that I really enjoyed, I got to tell you, it was really fun, just great, was I watched this Dean Cain fellow, the Superman actor, a great guy, young Superman, I guess his show was. He and another actress and some other players did a dramatic recreation reading of the text between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, which I just was rolling. I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, go to the CPAC YouTube channel and find it. It's hilarious, just outrageous. I mean, if you read, and what's really funny is this. One night in the middle of the worst of the Russia investigation, at least for our family, and you know, when you get sucked up into something like that, which I never had before. But there is, you know, you never really know when, this is the worst. It's got to be the worst. No, it's actually, it can get a lot worse really fast. You know, it's like, oh, well, this has got to be the bottom. I mean, we're at the bottom. We're at the bottom. This is it. This has got to be the worst. No, it's going to get a lot worse. You never know, but the next day is always worse, right? During these big federal investigations that suck all kinds of people up in it. And one time we were, you know, I actually believe, I think many people do, that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were linchpins in the investigation that hoovered up all the Trump associates. I mean, if you know about how FISA warrants work and how different permissions for surveillance work, I mean, what's the difference between a preliminary investigation and a full investigation, the one that started July 31st, 2016? There was a lot of investigating going on before that in what they call a preliminary investigation. You know, you think about all these different issues, you understand all the ins and outs of it, that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were central players in screwing my family to the wall. Just, I consider them to be less than human because they don't care that, you know, in their zeal, their lust to stop Donald Trump, they destroyed dozens and dozens of families and that are of his aides and friends. Destroyed us. And so one night, my wife and I were talking, and we were look. I got up on the computer screen or on my phone, all the different exchanges between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. We were having a rough time of it at the time, trying to keep the family together as these FBI agents and prosecutors are trying to grind us up in the wheels of all this. So we started reading the text back and forth, her as Lisa Page, and me as Peter Strzok. And we got a giggle. I mean, we actually did that for, you know, part of the evening. it was a nice distraction because, frankly, it's the most ridiculous, sycophantic, drooling, disgusting, Cupid spun, cheater, Jezebel scumbag talk you ever heard. It is just awful. Just dripping with absolute self-aggrandizement. There was one point where I remember reading this part when I was reading it to my wife a couple of years ago, but Dean Cain did it where Peter Strzok, Lisa Page was, there was a female actress there, I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, I feel terrible, she was great. But she was reading Lisa Page's texts, and Dean Cain was prancing around stage because Lisa Page was like fluffing Peter Strzok. You're such a manly man, you know, that kind of thing. I'm so glad you're there to defend America. And Dean Cain stood up and burst open his shirt like, you know, Superman. Yeah, you know, you get it. Young Superman doing the... Everybody in the whole place rolled. It was funny. But I thought it was interesting because my wife and I had done the same thing and actually got a good laugh out of it when we needed a good laugh. But the Dean Cain version of it, much, much better. Much better. I was interested to be at CPAC for also to see Washington kind of, you know, I mean, from the conservative viewpoint, when you're in the Gaylord Conference Center, you're not hearing the Democrat side of things during CPAC. But watching the Democrats come to the realization that Bernie Sanders is nearly inevitable. I don't think he's inevitable now. But you watch, you know, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and Steyer all get out. Boom, boom, boom. Didn't even stick around for Super Tuesday. It's crazy. And I've got some more to say about that. But I'm going to take a real quick break here, get a glass of water, and we'll be right back. Hold on one second. Still standing. Remember, that's stillstandingpodcast.com.
Still Standing will be right back with Michael Caputo.
Welcome back to Still Standing. This is Michael Caputo. Thanks for tuning in. You can actually find out more about when the new Still Standing episode comes out by signing up for our email list at stillstandingpodcast.com. I do these every week. It's interesting that this is number 60. That's 60 weeks I've done this. I actually skipped a few weeks in there around the holidays while I was finishing my book, The Ukraine Hoax. But 60 weeks, or 60 episodes. That's pretty cool. But you can get on the mailing list, find out more, about what's going on with this podcast, you know, get involved in some of the giveaways. That is stillstandingpodcast.com. Also if you want to support us, that's great. I would really appreciate it. We have a lot of support, I think, at, patreon.com. John Seifert is one of our executive producers. Everyone who, is one of our Patreon backers, we consider them part of the team. It's still a small team, but we really consider ourselves a family. I really appreciate Sean Dwyer, who's my producer on this, a very talented audio guy. But John Seifert, our executive producer, Henry Wotazek, Susan Havey, Sonia Carlin, Thomas Fulton, Samantha Lynn, Brian Pesdursky, Jack Bromwich, Jordan Gostomsky, Julie, Susan Stevens, Patty Freeling, our executive producers, Bill Grant, Mark Berry, Gary Stokes, Brent Sheehan, also executive producers, Brian Mangus, Catherine Barzicki, Frank Butry, thanks Frank, Scott McRae, Stephen Flaminio, always backing me up, Steve, thank you, and Denise Vassallo, Dijon, Denise, thank you, you're always great. I'm really very appreciative of guys like John and Henry and Susan and Sonia for their deep investment in the show. I really, really do appreciate it. It's really helpful, actually. I mean, I've got an audio booth in my office. I do PR and work for different companies, different clients, different countries. And so I have the equipment here, but I would never keep up on this on a regular basis if it weren't for the fact that I knew that there are people out there listening. I really do appreciate it. But boy, things changed, right? Here we are coming up on Super Tuesday. By the time some of you hear this, Super Tuesday will be behind us. I think Sean's going to put it together, get it out tonight. But now that Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, had his big show in South Carolina, got to hand it to the old man. He did it. He said he would. Then again, he said he'd do well in Iowa and New Hampshire and did not. But I've been in several different presidential election campaigns, Republican side, and I know how this works. You probably do too. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are deeply interested in the electoral process. But what Joe Biden has achieved here is not unremarkable. That's as enthusiastic as I can get. I think most of us expected him to do well in South Carolina. I didn't expect him to do as well as he did. Frankly, I am impressed with the numbers, especially since he was coming off an ebb in momentum because he got, didn't get the numbers he was looking for in any of the previous contests. So he's walking into South Carolina, he kept bailing early on the previous states, left Iowa early, left New Hampshire early, moved, and then finally ended up back in South Carolina. While most of the other candidates were still on their planes coming there. He had built a pretty strong operation there. You know, the Clyburn, the senator there, has if you know much about the state, state politics in South Carolina, you got to understand that it's a machine. Nothing wrong with that. It's a machine. The county chairman, the county committeeman, they work really hard for their machine candidates. House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn, that's his hometown. I mean, the state, he just runs it, man. And Clyburn has a very significant political machine, and he, right before the primary, threw everything into it. Clyburn said, and I pay attention to these things, and Clyburn's a bright guy, and he said 10 days ago to a reporter that he was not going to stand by and let Joe Biden's campaign go down in South Carolina, which, of course, is a suggestion that it might, right? He was clearly disappointed in the way the organization was working, and he threw his whole machine in on it. And when the Clyburn machine gets in, I expected it. Maybe people who watch from outside the process, far outside, they don't know that, Biden was strong there anyway in South Carolina, but Clyburn gets in with both feet. It's a done deal that he's going to win, and maybe by big numbers, which he got, right? When I saw Clyburn say that 10 days out, that meant he was taking over the whole thing, and it was going to be a victory for Biden. It really was. And I can tell you, I didn't expect Bernie to do well there as a socialist. I think South Carolina is not for that. The African-American vote in South Carolina is very important and was very committed to the Obama-Biden ticket, and I think some of that rubbed off really well for Joe. I think I expected him to get this. Like I said, it's not unremarkable. It's just that I'm not all enthusiastic. I'm not Buttigieg enthusiastic. If I'm Mayor Pete Buttigieg, I don't get out. I mean, by some accounts, Buttigieg stood he was doing better than Vice President Biden. Listen, I'll tell you. Buttigieg perceived as moderate. I don't know that he was, but he was broadly perceived as moderate in the rather liberal, progressive primary voting base of the Democratic Party. I thought his delegate count was amazing, considering it was his first time out. He was a regional politician before that, his first run statewide in Indiana. He got waxed. And he was in the top three by any stretch of the imagination. Sure, I mean, there was no way you would consider Klobuchar more than you would Buttigieg. And there was no way you would consider Warren more than Buttigieg. And in fact, Buttigieg felt more powerful than Bloomberg with his billions. But, you know, I felt Bloomberg gaining momentum. And for some reason, maybe Mayor Pete was running out of money. It felt like his was dissipating. And with a big, huge win in South Carolina, my understanding is that the big voices in the Democratic Party got on the horn and called Buttigieg and Klobuchar and Steyer and said, you got to get out. You got to step aside. This is not your time. This is Joe Biden's time. And ladies and gentlemen, this is, I don't know what went on in those phone conversations, but I understand from the open reporting and also from things that I'm hearing that senior voices in the Democratic Party gang tackled these three candidates and said, you got to get out. We're going to pull everything out from under you. We're going to put it all into Joe, and you need to get out of the way. Don't make it worse upon yourself. We will bury you. That's how things go. I mean, like it or not, that's what machine politics is like. And at that level, it is a machine. It works like a machine. It turns out votes like a machine. It also screws each other patently like a machine. And I'm quite certain that Steyer, Buttigieg, and Klobuchar saw a clear path out immediately. Let's face it. Mayor Pete was the one who really sacrificed. Steyer was nowhere. Klobuchar might have been surging a little bit, but she was past her time. I think the Brahmins of the party had given them enough of an opportunity in their own mind. I mean, this is always going to be Joe, because once Joe got in, good guys like Terry McAuliffe and Strickland out of Ohio, others did not get in because they figured Joe sucked all the oxygen out of the room for the moderate candidate in a field with guys like Bernie. Right? Well, as a matter of fact, Buttigieg and Klobuchar and Steyer were damaging Joe Biden, and all three of them are going to endorse coming. Wait, I think it's Buttigieg is endorsing an event tonight. Klobuchar, anyway, that'll have happened by the time you hear this, but it will be orchestrated and it will be powerful, and it's going to be really Bloomberg, Biden, and Bernie, B, in the Super Tuesday. Anybody else is immaterial. Bloomberg, Biden, and Bernie. And frankly, I think we're in for a battle royal. I think there's a pretty good chance we have a brokered convention. There are friends of mine in the Democratic Party who tell me they don't see how that's going to happen. But if you read some of the reporting out there, 538, if you believe that research, and I do some. They say there's actually 538 I take with a grain of salt, like all polling, but 538 does deep analysis. Actually, it's more of a forecaster. They say 59% chance of a contested Democratic convention. For guys like me, you know, the political operatives, I'm not sure I'm still a political operative after the Russia investigation is 30 years behind me. I don't think I'll ever work on a campaign again after all that. But, you know, that thing, the contested convention is a wet dream for a political operative, especially for somebody on the Bernie side of it. Now, I've got to tell you, it's interesting because if there is a 59%, now that's 538, you got to believe what you got to believe, take it with a grain of salt or 10. I think there's a 50-50 shot that it's going to be a contested convention, that it's going to be a brawl on the floor. And I think in the end, they'll take it from Bernie. They will take it from Bernie. It's going to happen. I don't see how they allow someone who's not even a member of their party take the party on a ride far to the left, which would absolutely flush its chances down the toilet on the top of the ticket and probably really dramatically impact those on the bottom. Don't forget, this is the same analysis that people were throwing around about what would happen with Donald Trump on the top of the Republican ticket. Has not happened. In fact, the Republicans are raising record amounts of money, and there are candidates lining up who are some of the highest quality candidates I've ever seen. The Republican Party is as alive and well as it ever was, probably better off than it was during many previous presidencies of the Republican side. But this Democratic Party will not survive a contested convention. But mark my words. We've also got Bloomberg in there, all right? Bloomberg is worth, what, not just say $70 billion. He'll spend whatever it takes. Anybody in New York knows how Bloomberg works, especially people who live in New York City. I don't. But Bloomberg does not like to lose, and he will pay what it takes to win. Now, he has said that he'll support whoever wins the Democratic nomination against Donald Trump. But if you think Michael Bloomberg is going to support Bernie Sanders, you're smoking something. So if Bernie Sanders wins this nomination, which by all counts, he could be on his way to do it. Let's make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen. Bernie Sanders is the Democratic frontrunner, not Joe Biden. Joe Biden won South Carolina. You understand that was the first state primary or caucus that Joe Biden has ever won in his life, ever. And he's run for president 3 times. That's the first time he's ever won a primary. This is not a trend line, ladies and gentlemen. This is South Carolina where Joe Biden was taking his last stand, and he stood. And that's strong. But this could go all the way to the convention. I don't see Bernie doing really well on Super Tuesday. You'll know the results when this is out. I think he'll do fine. But the further south you get in the Democratic Party, the less likely a socialist is going to get what he wants out of the state. I think Joe Biden's going to get some momentum out of this big win. I think it's false momentum. Maybe not false. Momentum is momentum. Maybe isn't long-lasting momentum. I think people are still wary. But with 3 candidates that were just on the debate stage last week, jumping out onto a stage with Joe Biden tonight, the night before the Super Tuesday primaries all across the country, and endorse him, I tell you, I don't care what party you're in, that's the kind of thing you want happening in your candidacy the night before Super Tuesday. Bernie Sanders is going to have a big rally, right? What's Mike Bloomberg going to do? What's going to happen to him? We're going to be looking for size and momentum and enthusiasm, and you're going to get it at a Bernie Sanders rally. And you're going to get it at a rally where Joe Biden is being endorsed by Klobuchar, Buttigieg, and Steyer. One of them is being cagey. It might be Steyer, but I they're all going to endorse by tonight, or they will be found with broken legs somewhere. You think I'm kidding. But Bernie's going to have a big rally. He always does. You know, his rallies are, you know, not on the par of the president's, but the closest one to it in the Democratic side. The big one with Biden will be good. What is Bloomberg going to do? Will he be able to pay that many people to go? I'm not lying. I mean, I'm not trying to pick at him, because people do pay crowds. It's not unusual. I mean, it's been done. I've paid crowds in the past, never for President Trump, but crowds are hard to build sometimes. You need a little incentive. But will Bloomberg have some kind of modest event while Bernie and Biden? Yeah, it's a bad look. I'd be looking for that tonight in the TV coverage and the talk tomorrow. Here's the thing. Biden comes with the establishment, the committeemen, the committee chairman, the state, you know, the county committee chairman, the state committee chairman, all the victory apparatus that the Republican Party has built, and those are the candidates that mostly win. I mean, whether you like it or not, that's really true. I had lunch with an establishment Republican guy today, and he told me, he says, You know, some of these people who are rebelling in this party over the years have a little fun for a little while, but if you analyze their careers and you look at them and what they've accomplished and what the largesse they enjoyed, how far they went in life, and you look at the person who played along, got along, did the establishment jig, the establishment guy is the one who's always doing better. It's a fact. That's probably the story of my life, and most of the people I like are the kind of people that don't play along with the establishment. I don't think I would have been targeted in the Mueller investigation if I was establishment. But having said that, in the end, the establishment will win in this Democratic primary. And in the convention, even a contested convention, we're seeing these delegates line up. I mean, everybody who gets out of the race and has a delegate or two, they represent headcount for the convention. Every endorsement from a former candidate who holds delegate, that matters. I don't know how many the total are, but Buttigieg comes in loaded for bear, right? And they're all Biden delegates now. So now you're starting to count heads. And at the end of the line is a contested convention. And here's a thing that everybody needs to understand. Bernie people, there are among them just absolute anarchists. I wouldn't say Antifa. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But there are just absolute scumbags in that movement. I like a lot of Bernie people. I like Bernie. I don't agree with him on anything, but I like the guy. I've spent some time with him. He's not a bad guy. You know, he doesn't always talk politics. You think all these candidates do. He's good on veterans issues. That's how I met him. But I would never vote for him for president, obviously. But, you know, he's a decent guy, and he needs to be treated decently through this process. He's not going to be. It's going to be stolen from him again. And these people, some of these scumbags that follow him, they're going to go out and they're going to burn down Milwaukee. They've said that. They've said that on camera. Milwaukee will burn. So watch Super Tuesday. Keep an eye on it. It's interesting because if the two of them come out awash, Bernie, Biden, and Bloomberg sticks around a little longer, and I think he will because he's got the money to do so, this thing makes it even more likely, I think, that there's a broken convention. I don't think they're going to let Bernie have it, man. I don't think he – I think he's probably going to win it, and they'll take it from him, and they'll make up a rule for it, right? And then Milwaukee's going to burn. I believe that we Republicans should stand back and let the Democrats destroy themselves. Honestly, I can't think of anything more fun to watch. Well, I'm headed back to Washington here in a few minutes. I got some things going on there. Maybe I'll do a podcast from there. Probably not. I'm going to be doing the Beltway jig for a couple days. A lot of things going on in Washington right now, ladies and gentlemen. Keep an eye on it. Do not take your eyes off of this because it's just going to get worse. Remember, it's stillstandingpodcast.com. I'm Michael Caputo. Sign up at stillstandingpodcast.com and take a look at my book, The Ukraine Hoax, at Amazon. You can also go to theukrainehoax.com and get a little bit more information on it. Thanks a lot for listening in. This is Michael Caputo. Thanks for listening to Still Standing.